Let's open up to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's begin at the first verse. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who? The Son, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And we'll finish, we'll just stop right there. The part that I want to look at for a moment is that upholding all things by the word of his power. It's not, and we've talked about this verse in the past, but notice it doesn't say by the power of his word. It says by the word of his power. What that tells us is that God's power is released through his word, through the word. And we see that evidenced in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, and God said, and there was, and God said, and there was, and God said, and there was. So God spoke things, and when he did, it caused things to happen. It changed things. It altered circumstances. The circumstance that God faced there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, before verse 1, was that there was no universe, there were no planets, there was nothing other than where he lived. Our minds can't grasp that. We don't understand how it's as big as this universe is, we don't understand how it's possible that there could have been a point in time, you know, to put it, a point in time where it didn't exist. How could there not have been anything, and yet there was something, but the something that existed was separate from that which we now live in? Well, what was the something that existed? God, the realm of the Spirit, where he lives, that existed. You say, well, how long did it exist? As long as God's existed. You know, God, no beginning, no end. That means where he lives, no beginning, no end. Now, I know we can talk about heaven and how, you know, the construction of heaven, but I'm talking about the place of his existence. Call it the spirit realm. Well, at one time, none of what we have existed. This whole universe did not exist. In my mind, I can't figure this out. I don't know how it's possible to not have anything. Then all of a sudden, not only do you have that something, but you have the space to put it in. It's just incredible to me. And, you know, we could just, you know, let our minds wander a whole lot on that kind of a thing. But it says right here that God upholds all things by the what? The word of his power. By the word of his power. Now remember when he talked about how that my word won't return void, it prospers, accomplishes what I want? In other words, from God's perspective, when he speaks, that's it. I mean, that's it. That's the way it is. And the only thing that can make a difference, okay, think of it like this. When God said, if my people were to call by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways and so forth, then I'll heal their land. In other words, he was giving them a condition. He was saying, look, you got a problem. If you do this, the problem can be resolved. Likewise, there where it talks about, you know, I set before you this day blessings and curses. You know, blessings if you do this, curses if you do this. So things have been set in motion, and we can't change the fact that there are blessings associated with what he says there are blessings. I mean, he says, you do this, there are blessings. Just like he said, you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and guess what? You get born again. That's not going to change. So whenever anybody calls on Jesus and they meet it from their heart, you know what? They're born again. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if after bowing at the altar and you pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you go back out in your car and you light up a cigarette because you haven't broken that habit yet, you're still born again. Lighting up the cigarette didn't cause Jesus to jump out. You with me? You know what I'm saying? So what God has said holds true. And I know that for us, sometimes it's hard to understand that, understand the fullness of that, because there is so much that goes on in our lives that we wish would change. There are so many things that happen that we just don't seem to understand why this did and why that didn't. And yet, when we get into the Bible, we see that things should be different than what they are. Well, God says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now, when we get born again, we know we don't become deity, but we do receive His life. Now, His life is power. And it is the power of that life which caused Jesus to be raised from the dead. That, in essence, is the glory of the Father. So, that life reinfused into Jesus caused Jesus to raise up from the dead. And when we accept God into our lives by professing our faith in Jesus Christ, and we become born again, we receive that same life. That life is power. And we can go through the book of Romans and find out that the power of the life we received by faith in Jesus is more powerful than sin. The power of that life has made us free from sin. Now, we can choose to commit sin, but we're free from the power of sin. Sin still has power, if you will, but the power of the life in us is so much greater than the power of sin to control us that it's like sin has no power. When we want to see things change, we have a pattern set before us in God's Word. Speak it, and there's change. Jesus demonstrated this for us. When people came to Him and they wanted healing, it didn't matter what kind of healing they wanted, healing was ministered. And at times, it was ministered as He spoke to them. Remember the lady that was bowed over 18 years? Spirit of infirmity. Jesus said, "You're loosed from your infirmity." Man, the woman stood right up. He spoke it. And the power of that thing changed her circumstances. 18 years she'd been like that. 18. Now, you know what? There's a really good chance that in this room tonight, no matter how many of us have been struggling with certain issues, it is possible that not one of us in here have been struggling with a physical problem for 18 years. Now, an exception to that might be those of us who have been wearing corrective lenses, contacts, or glasses for much longer than 18 years. But beyond that, it's very possible nobody in here has struggled with the same thing for 18 years. And yet that woman had that problem. And what happened? Jesus comes along, He speaks, and just like that, she's set free. Now, guys, that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So many times I've had people ask me, how come such and such didn't happen? And you know how, like in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus perceived their thoughts? Okay. Well, there are times when people have come to me and I have perceived their feelings. They are not ready to hear the truth, which is, well, it's because somebody messed up on their faith. Good chance it might have been you. People don't want to hear that. And yet I've come to the conclusion, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to put the blame on somebody else or God.
Why didn't God come through?
After all, I'm so perfect. There's nothing left to change. So it can't be me. Well, wrong. I know this. Jesus said, with God all things are possible. Jesus said that I could speak to the tree, that I could speak to the mountain, and it would have to be gone. That, you know, the mountain, the tree representing problems and so forth, be gone. Jesus said that I could cast out devils. Jesus said that I could lay hands on the sick. And so, on and on, I see in Scripture, I am supposed to be able to do these things. It doesn't matter about anybody else in the whole wide world. I'm supposed to be able to do these things. Well, part of the problem is it's a faith issue. I mean, really it is. It's a faith issue. We don't really believe in the power of God's Word to change things. Now, this is a hard thing for some folks to accept, and I understand that. But when you get back in Scripture, you know, there aren't a whole lot of options left. What God has said in His Word is true or it's not. And if it's not, boy, have we ever been hoodwinked. Amen? But if it is, then that means the only thing that's going to change has got to be us. And the way that we change is getting to the place to where the unbelief is less and less, and the belief is more and more. And we will begin to see things change. That is a spiritual, scriptural truth that cannot be altered. Now, when it comes to things that we're facing, let's face it. Here in this church, I want to see this place full. I want to see the pews full. I want to see people having to get here early to get the seat they want. I want to see people having to pull in. I want to see us having to have parking lot attendants because, honestly, we don't have enough paid parking out there right now to handle a full house. We simply don't. I want to see this place filled, not because I want to brag that we have a full house, but because I know that when this place is filled, people's lives are being changed. I know that. Even if they don't act on what they hear, just the fact that they're hearing it is God's Word being sown into their lives. So there is a kind of change that's going to take place. I want to see this happen. I want to see this place filled. I also know that if this place is filled and stays filled, it means that there are people who have come here and have not rejected what they've heard. From day one until tonight, day one being, you know, back on day one, in the beginning. We've had people come in, they've heard, and they have rejected. And the reason they've rejected is because they have not taken the time to get into God's Word to find out if what they're hearing is true or not. They haven't prayed about it. They have just gone along with things that they've heard in the past. And have we not learned that if we hang on to the things of the past too hard, there's a good chance that many of those things are going to, well, they're going to be confronted by God's Word. And that's a challenge to some people. And because of that, there are some folks, they're not here now because of it. They're not here because they refused to let go of that which did not line up with God's Word. But a full house, you know what that means? That means we've got people that are holding on to truth as opposed to tradition. A full house means that there are people who are embracing what they're hearing. Not so much embracing me, they're embracing God's Word. That's what a full house means. So you see, that in itself is something that I want to take place, because with a full house and people embracing and people growing, you know what that means, don't you? That means we're going to be able to do a whole lot more as far as what we do outside the walls of this church. So the possibilities really are endless, all relative to God's will. You have things in your life that you want changed. I know you do. It could be physical, it could be financial, it could be family. We have some family situations here in this church that need to be changed. Because there are people in the home that flat out are just not going along with what God's Word says. And it causes problems in the home. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. God wants us all walking in unity with each other and with Him. Now, you know, if we're walking in unity with God, we're walking in unity with His Word. So, God doesn't want it to be like that. There are people in this, part of this church, that they're fighting physical things. There are people in this church, they're fighting financial things. I mean, and on we could go with this. Now, these things can change. They absolutely can change. Now, you and I both know that we're not going to control the will of another person. But the thing that we can do is change the atmosphere around that person. I know some people say, show me that in Scripture. Well, I can give you a really good example. In Genesis chapter 1, God changed the atmosphere of what existed dramatically, did He not? He spoke the Word, and the atmosphere around the spirit world changed. I'll guarantee you this. In fact, we ended up, when he spoke the word, we ended up with a whole new realm of existence that had never existed before, that which we call the natural. All because God spoke. And when he spoke, trees started reproducing. Animals started reproducing. I mean, read in Genesis, it talks about he spoke and all of a sudden stuff starts growing. Nothing grew until he spoke. So he created an atmosphere conducive for what he wanted by his spoken word. Then we get through the Bible and we begin to see how that he's trying to get across to us, you've accepted my son as your Savior. Now, the power of my life is in you. I uphold all things by the word of my power. People change their spiritual atmosphere by confessing my son Jesus as Lord and Savior. So take this principle and apply it to yourself and change things. Change things. God, I want things to be changed. I want this to change. Oh God, I want to see things happen. And God says, that isn't a problem. I have given to you my word. Take my word and apply it. And don't be weary in well-doing. Be diligent, and you're going to see things change. What will change? Anything can change, and the change that will take place will be change that lines up with his word. In other words, you are not going to confess somebody to get fired just so you can have their job. I've heard of goofy things like that. God is not going to, just because you confess something like that, I want that job. But somebody else has that job, but I want that job. Fire him, God. I don't care. Get him out. Now, if they're liars and cheats and dishonest and so forth, you know, it may be that the right thing is for them to get out. But you know what? The most right thing is for them to have their lives changed and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So instead of confessing for their job, you need to be praying for their souls. But things can still change. But they're going to change in line with God's Word. Now, what does that mean? What that means is this, that we can take God's Word and we can speak it and change will happen. You say, well, I tried that once and it didn't work. You know what? I guess when you're deity, it can happen like that. But when you're not deity, you have to grow in the understanding that it can happen like that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That means the more we hear God's Word, the more it can change us as far as what we believe and what we don't believe concerning what His Word can do. And again, this is a tough thing for some people to grasp. And it's a tough thing to be diligent about, I know. Trust me, I really do understand that. But what we're going to do tonight is spend the rest of the time confessing God's Word. Because no matter how, like I've said before, no matter how much I preach, no matter how much I teach, my preaching and my teaching can't change anybody. All I do through preaching and teaching is provide information. That's all. And then it's what we do with that information that can change us. Likewise, God has given us His Word. And we can apply that Word and change our lives. We can apply His Word and change the atmospheres around people so they can sense God's truth, reality, presence, love, grace, mercy, everything else. And hopefully they'll make the right decision. But through His Word, the Word of His power, we can impact everything that's going on. Absolutely everything that is going on. So, we're going to confess the Word of God, same confessions that we've made in the past. But tonight when we do this, try to envision this. Instead of, when you speak, just, you know, like little green clouds of halitosis floating out, imagine this. Imagine what happened when God spoke. Genesis chapter 1. What came out of His mouth? Well, when He said, you know, let there be whatever, things didn't like come out of His mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Power came out of His mouth. Tonight when we speak these and make these confessions, I want you to imagine God's power coming out of your mouth. I want you to imagine that whatever the confession is, that as you speak it, that power is going out in the direction of what it's supposed to impact. If it's healing, just imagine that power is going out of your mouth and it's touching people's bodies in here, your own body. You know, somebody at home, somebody at work, whatever. Just imagine that power is going out and it's touching them. No matter what it is we're confessing, I want you to think about the fact that you are speaking the word of God's power. You are releasing power through this word. And it's just like when you take a hammer and a nail, it's not too easy to drive that nail in with one blow, is it? But you know that if you hit it again and again and again, pretty soon that hammer is not only going to be flush with the wood, but you can actually drive it into the wood. So you have to keep at it. Likewise, with the confession, it's the same kind of principle. The more we speak it, the more faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But the more we speak it, the more we are impacting circumstances, people, and so forth. And things change. They really do change.